Okay,
Well, that's good.
it's 6 o'clock and we have a full quorum, so I'm going to go ahead and open the meeting at 6 p.m. Hi, Patty.
Thank you.
Okay, so the roll call and verification of quorum is basically accomplished. All five trustees are on. I would entertain a motion to accept the agenda.
I suggest I make a motion that we accept the quorum and start the meeting.
I second it.
Okay, I think you're making a motion to accept the agenda. Is that a correct assumption?
It is.
Okay, so Robert has moved and Patty has seconded to accept the agenda. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Alan, treasurer's report, please.
Okay. In the Bank of Oklahoma Financial, we have $21,987.88. The Commercial Bank of Colorado checking account, we have $415,218.32. And the Commercial Bank of Colorado, the money market account, we have $800,747.70. And we have $500 in petty cash. So our total current assets total to $1,238,453.90. That's just a hair less than we had last month. And that has to do with the amount of money that we paid on some bills and stuff, because we haven't received any payments from the county or state yet. If I understand it correctly, Wendy has turned in a quarterly financial report for ending September 30th. And according to that, we have total capital or total expenditures to date of $681,173.95. And that puts us, we're under budget we've only spent 70% of the budgeted amount for 2021. So we are in very good shape for to complete the rest of the year. Anybody have any questions?
No, good job.
I think that's an accurate analysis that even in the commercial bank account, we've got just about enough to cover the rest of the expenses until we get our next infusion of income somewhere around March.
Yes, we've done really well. The library expenditures, the different libraries, most everybody is pretty much on track. Couple of libraries are just a little behind on their library purchases, their books, but everybody is doing a really good job though.
Okay, unless we have any questions of Alan, I would move on to item number 4, which is approval of the minutes from August 25th, 2021 meeting.
I would make a motion that we approve the minutes as published.
I would second that.
Alan has moved and Robert has seconded that we approve the minutes from the meeting of August 25th, 2021 as published. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. Moving on, Tim mentioned a couple of things about management, meeting with the management committee. Patty or Robert, do you have anything to add to that as a management committee report?
Yeah, I suppose I do. I thought it was very productive. I've actually enjoyed getting to know Tim a little bit better. I have to praise Patty Lampman for all the hard work that she's been doing. So
I was going to speak. Sorry, I couldn't get off mute. I was trying to find so my apologies. I think it's going great. Tim's director report mirrored the same notes that I had taken in terms of our meeting this last week on the 17th. And I think it's going good. So I look forward to continuing to move forward and be collaborative and work together on behalf of the library.
All right, great. Thank you very much. Anybody have any questions of the management committee? All right. Director's report, I think was pretty clear. Tim did ask in the report if the language, the meeting room policy language changes that he forwarded in August to us reflect what the board wanted to have. And my impression is that they did. So I think we just need to maybe go around the table if there's anybody that has any concerns about what Tim captured. I think he got everything. So, Alan, any comments?
No, I think he did a good job, and it was very concise. It made for an easy read.
Okay, Patty.
I would agree. It made for an easy read. It was good.
Okay, Karen.
It seems fine to me.
Okay, and Robert?
I thought it was thorough, easy to read, enlightening.
Okay. So, Tim, I hope that addresses that, and I think that we all agree that your changes that you captured on the policy, the meeting room policy, were correct, and also your director's report was very clear and concise.
All righty. Thank you. Just wanted to say we launched our new website design, so if you get a chance to hop over to the website, check that out too. I'll get those that new revised policy up on the website and update our records.
All right, cool. And if you could send out, I guess we could probably all print the updated pages and correct our trustee handbook and just insert the new pages to replace the old pages. That'd probably be easier than if, particularly where we're Zooming as opposed to meeting in person. So trustees, if you would all take that as a task, print the updated pages on the policy manual starting on page 13. And I think they end on 14 or maybe even 15, and then just insert those into your trustee handbook. I think that would be appropriate. If you'll notice, the agenda jumps from 6 to 8, not on purpose. I just missed that. But what I would offer at a make-believe 7 is if anybody has any public comment at the moment. So. Going once, going twice. Okay,
One thing. There was a pretty good sized article in the Albert Tribune on the Dog Club donation deal for the books. I thought it gave the library and everybody a lot of good publicity, and there were some good pictures. And I want to thank everybody for participating in all the hard work of the ladies there and Elizabeth in cataloging those books. Some of them were pretty obscure titles.
Great. can always use good press. Moving on then to item number 8, it's a tabled item. It was a continued discussion and possible action regarding vaccinations for the district. And it would seem to me at this point, I think you're all aware of what the positivity has been for the last month in the low teens to today, somewhere in the 14% range, which is 2.5 times the state average. So it's stayed pretty high for the last 30 days. I had reached out a bit ago for legal ways to provide vaccination policies. And one portion of that was the thing that Tim just had up. It's called a confidential self-certification form COVID-19 vaccine. And I sent this out as part of the along with the agenda. And what I was thinking at this time, rather than going any further, is let's get some actual data. And that's what I put in there, vaccine attestation form to gather data. It is an honor system. We don't ask for proof of vaccination. What it says is those who are vaccinated are asked to simply put on this form whether you got one dose, two doses, and when you received your first dose, sign it and then give it to your supervisor, and we'll put that into the personnel files. And 2-3 weeks from now, we should be able then to analyze those and see whether we have a 20% vaccination rate or a 92% vaccination rate. But without really knowing that, I think by keeping it confidential, we're not asking those who are not vaccinated to sign anything. We're simply saying those who are vaccinated to please fill out this form, and it'll simply go into your personnel file. So that would be the purpose of this particular discussion tonight. I think it makes sense, but certainly I'm one out of 5 voices, so I'd like input from the rest of the board on that. So in trying to keep it on the Zoom, I'll start and just call your name and just see if you have a question or a comment. Alan, if you would start.
Okay, I believe everybody should fill this form out, and I'm hoping that we have a very good turnout, because public employees or the library district, I think we should be, our people should be a setting example for the county, but that's just my warped thoughts.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. Patty, anything?
I had to complete this for my employer. So it's it's to let us know what our vaccination rate is within the library staff. And I think it's important because the library employees. And I think it's important because we just need to know like what kind of protections we need to provide if there are people who are not vaccinated.
Okay, thank you. Karen, any thoughts?
Can y'all hear me okay?
Sure.
Yep.
Okay. I think that since it's a confidential and people can choose to fill it out or not, those that are committed to the vaccination process will do so. And that will be some data that we can understand within the staff of the district. So I would support it.
Okay, and Robert?
I think it's important. I think when you, I can only speak as a board member, but I think it'd be disingenuous of me to ask other people to do that without, you know, me fulfilling, you know, my obligation. I am vaccinated, would fill it out. I think anybody that does that, that's wonderful. I realize that there are people that have differing opinions on it, but I think the data is important. If we're going to fulfill our responsibility to the taxpayers, then we need to get as much current information as is possible, with the idea being, though, that we recognize that there are people who have genuine concerns, and not to belittle their position, but to try and understand it.
So you're thinking that the board members should also fill this out, or is that just you personally?
I have no problem with that. If I'm going to ask somebody else to do it, I would have no problem filling it out and providing it. I'm not saying anybody else would have to do that.
I would
agree.
I think if we're asking others to do it, I have no problem doing it myself.
I have no problem either.
Karen?
Well, I'm vaccinated. I'd be happy to self-attest that I have the vaccination.
Yeah, and I'm vaccinated as well, so I don't have a problem with that either. So I think Tim, speaking for staff, do you have any comments on going this far at this point with basically a self-certification form, basically on the honor system, and collect it from all of those who are vaccinated and put it into the files, and then we'll just take a look and see what status we are in the staff.
I haven't received any comments from staff. I think it's a good first step in terms of just acquiring data for who has it already. I think staff will like that it's opt-in, and we can gather quite a bit of data from that. I mean, we already anecdotally know that the majority of staff has been vaccinated, but this will prove it out for us.
This is Lori. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So it's voluntary to hand the form in. Do we then assume that the people that didn't turn it in aren't vaccinated? I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to say to my team.
Well, I think that would be a logical assumption. And if, in fact, and let me just, I'll play not the devil's advocate, but a devil's advocate to your question, that if that is the assumption, then perhaps that moves us to a status of a stronger policy that we might not take if, in fact, everyone who is vaccinated signs this and attests themselves. Because we're not asking to see your vaccine card or anything like that. If you're vaccinated, sign it. We'll put it in your file. And we'll be talking about personnel files a little bit later in the meeting, and they will be confidential once collected. So I don't know if that answers your question, but perhaps that's a way to address it.
I'm putting myself in the position of somebody who might not be vaccinated. Would I simply not fill out the form, or would I fill out the form and say I have not been vaccinated?
The form has nothing on it that says I am not been vaccinated. It simply says it attests that I have been vaccinated.
Super. Okay. That's what I needed to know. Thank you.
This is Kathy, and I have a question as well.
Sure.
Along the same lines as Lori, as we're going to be the ones receiving this information. First of all, how do we really, if I'm collecting the data, then I'm going to have that information. How can we ensure that as an organization their information is confidential? My fear is there's going to be a perception that there will be prejudice against a non-vaccinated person. And as we proceed in this, I want to make sure that we can ensure confidentiality. We can, you know, I get that we're trying to get at statistics, but how do we ensure that information so that people feel comfortable filling out this piece of paper? Would it be something that we could create an online something so that they can just do it themselves at their desk? It doesn't come through a manager. It doesn't get, you know what I mean? I don't know if there's another way to do this. But I have a concern that that people that have, first of all, I don't think we have many that are not vaccinated, but I believe that those people could feel that they might be treated differently, or there could be some prejudice. So I'm just asking, how are we going to ensure confidentiality in this process, so people feel comfortable sharing their information?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah. Would it suffice to fill it in and turn? I mean, if we have somebody that's designated in personnel to just put those in the folders, or is it that the fear is that if everybody at that particular level understands who's vaccinated and who's not vaccinated, that that's where the bias would come from? I'm not exactly clear. I mean, I could see putting it in an envelope and handing it to a designated person who distributes those into the personnel files, but I don't know if that solves the problem. So, but I need some help kind of understanding it so I can honor it.
Right. And I guess I don't have all the answers either. I'm kind of guessing that there could be a perception that if I'm vaccinated, I'm going to get treated one way. And if I'm not vaccinated, I could be possibly treated another way. But I do like the idea of an envelope system, because, you know, I think that, and maybe just one person puts things into a file, and then maybe just a numeric situation, you know, no names on a list. Just a numeric value is created from that outcome.
We have it shows that we've got 90% compliance.
It does.
I agree. I think everybody should fill out the form, put it in an envelope, sealed envelope, and I think everything should be given to Tim, and he fills out the deal and then just reports to the board that we have a X number of compliance, and we have, I don't even think we as the board, we need to know how many out of the gross, out of the whole total, all we need to know is percentage, and we don't need to know who is and who isn't.
Okay, and I just have another quick question. Is gathering the data to possibly not mandate the vaccine for some that choose not to, or is this just a step that will eventually be a mandate and people will share their data with us and the same outcome will be true? Does that, am I asking that in a clear way?
So let me, just Jim again, what you're asking is, have we already made the choice to make a mandate on the vaccine and this is just cover for us?
Yes.
No, the answer is no. This is okay. Data to find out where we are.
Okay. Cause you know, I will get that question. I can guarantee you that.
Absolutely.
I will get that question.
Well, and you have to be aware that we might mandate, but we might not. But we don't know without the data. And I think that all of the board is in agreement that we need to collect the data. I like what's been suggested in an envelope. It may be less likely to take it all to Tim since he's not always in every branch. But if it goes in an envelope to the branch manager, from the branch manager directly to Tim, from Tim to the employee file, Tim is the only one that calculates the ratio, because I think that is correct. We don't need to know whether there's 17 out of 22 or, you know, whatever the number is. We just need to know percentages. That's mm-hmm. my feeling. That was my intent with providing this as a step at this point, given the fact that we are among the highest non-vaccinated counties in the state. I mean, we have to deal with reality, and that the district is a patron-facing, customer-facing operation on the day-to-day work. So that's
right.
What it's.
Okay, I have one other question. Is there a way to collect this data, and maybe it's just Tim, where nothing is put in our file. It's just, you know, he goes to each individual employee, asks if they'd like to share that data, and no piece of paper ends up in a file. Is that a possibility for your needs?
So as part of the personnel file policy that we're going to deal with later, there's a four-page checklist of what belongs in personnel files and what needs to be put in a separate file. And I believe medical information doesn't necessarily go into a personnel file, but it would go into a separate medical file. But I don't see the point, quite frankly, Kathy, of collecting the information and not assigning it to a file. This is important information that once we collect it, we need a record of it, but it needs to be a confidential record.
Well, and the reason I'm asking is just that willingness to participate. There may be people that are vaccinated that will choose not to because they don't want medical information in a file in their workplace. I'm playing devil's advocate here.
I understand, because again,
I'm going to get questions and that kind of thing. I'm just trying to look at how can we as a district collect as much accurate information as we can and willingness to participate. But I'm not sure how my crew might feel about having their medical data in their, and it doesn't even matter if it's a separate file, you know, in a work, you know, related folder. Let's put it that way.
So let me continue on as if we would eventually have a mandate. All of that is legal to keep according to the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Council. It's been thoroughly tested in court. So none of this is HIPAA protected. None of this is anything that can't be collected by an employer, but it is also very critical that we keep it confidential. So that's the main point.
Right. And I guess again, my point in asking the questions is to have the greatest amount of people participating as we can get. And I don't know what that's going to look like. That's why I asked these questions, because I understand the legal part of this, but it's a participatory part that, you know, because I would like to see everybody participate that can. But like I say, I may have some hesitancy, and other managers may have some hesitancy due to the fact that, you know, right now they're being asked to give that information. So I just wanted to clarify why I'm asking, and because I understand, and I think that probably most of our employees understand the legalese part of this. It's getting the willingness to participate that I think is where I'm coming from.
Might I add one more thing?
Sure.
I think it's important that people keep an eye on the chat portion here, because I think we're getting some important kind of feedback. I know sometimes people get on here and they'd like their thoughts known, and yet they're not really plugged into the system the same way. I want the board's reaction to be sensitive to everybody's opinions. My hope is that the employees and the people that are on the connected with us right now understand that this isn't an easy thing for the board to do, because we're not unaware of you know, how personal this is for people. But again, we all have, you know, our responsibilities, and sometimes when you start talking about what you can do, what you should do, you know, it starts to get on people's, well, which is it for you? You know, and I don't want this to be confrontational. I want it to be informative.
Right.
I think that Wendy had said, how about the director ask all the personnel and they send it back to the director only. I'm good with that. I think that's fine. And it does go in a separate file. It does not go in the personnel record. It would be a separate file. But then that way, there's no, I mean, how in a small library do you, if you have four people in your library and three people bring it back, I mean, then you're assuming the manager knows those three people got the vaccine. So I mean, if they're wanting some sense of confidentiality and they don't want it to go to their library manager, I would have no problem with that going to the director directly. And then he calculates or tabulates the calculation and then he puts them in a separate file. But we do need to have the data. We do need to have the documentation to back the data that we're asking for.
If we make a decision, it has to be informed. And we can't really make an informative decision without collecting some data.
Right. And I think Patty has hit on probably the way we should form the motion to approve this form to be distributed. And that is that Tim will handle distribution and compilation and put into a medical file.
I would agree with that because I think the simpler we make it, the less painful it will be. And long term, it may just sit there and never do anything other than we know the percentage. And I'm hoping our percentage is good enough that it makes us as an organization look like that we're setting the standard for the county.
Tamara, in terms of a data breach, I mean, those are electronic records that are the data breach. We have, and we're going to talk about this, I think it's in the next bullet item on the agenda, but the personnel folders are being maintained by Tim only, and only Tim has the key. So the only data breach would be Tim. Nobody else has access to them. Or myself, if I do an audit to make sure that that what is in the personnel records should be in the personnel records, and that any other data that's in there that shouldn't be in the personnel records, if it's to be maintained, if it should be in a medical file that is maintained separate, or if it shouldn't be in there at all. So, but I probably wouldn't even see those because they would be in one folder and he could put them to the side and I wouldn't have to look at them. So.
I have a question.
Sure.
Who is E on the call, on the
Elbert
on the list here of who's listed?
It's listed as Elbert on mine, which might be Ruben.
I just see an E.
Mine's listed as Elbert.
Is that you, Ruben? Well, if anybody knows, let me know.
Okay. Unless there's something new that we haven't talked about, I think we've covered the ground here, and I would entertain a motion, much like what Patty had suggested, that we institute this, and that Tim Miller, director, will be responsible for distribution and collection and tabulation, and then confidentially storing it in a medical file, not a personnel file.
I would make that motion. That we have each employee sign an affidavit to where they're at, put it in a sealed envelope that is delivered only to Tim, our director, and he does a tabulation and puts the information in a separate file and only informs the board of the percentage with no information as to who is what.
Okay, do I have a second?
I second that.
All right, Alan has moved and Robert has seconded that we adopt a self-certification form, a confidential self-certification form regarding COVID-19 vaccine, and that Tim Miller will be responsible for distribution and collection, tabulation, and storage. To summarize the motion, is there any further discussion?
Yeah, one other thing. You have to make the language such that if it comes down to the fact where you end up having to have a mandate, then that can't supersede, or this decision that we're making right now can't supersede what has to occur when and if a mandate were to be constructed. Does that make sense?
It doesn't, and I think that the language of any future motion would supersede this motion, I think, would be the proper way for that to happen. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with that. I don't even think it has to be an amendment, because any future motion can supersede any existing motion according to Robert's Rules of Order.
Right. Any further discussion? All right. I'll call for the question. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. I'll move on now to number 9, a policy for personnel files and a resolution. And I think Patty is going to handle this.
Let me. So I want to submit a resolution to the board that we modify our personnel file policy, and that I'll just read this from the resolution, and there's a misspelling in personnel. We need to fix that.
Personnel.
Be it resolved that all personnel files of the Elizabeth Library District, doing business as Pines and Plains Libraries, except the library director's personnel file, will be kept in a locked file cabinet separate from any other files. The keys to this cabinet and access to the files will be controlled by the library director and the president of the board. These keys will be passed to any succeeding library director and board president in the future. The library director's personnel file will be kept in a separate locked file cabinet, and the keys to this cabinet and access to it will be controlled by the president of the board of trustees as a member of the management committee designated annually by the president. These keys and access will be passed to any succeeding board members holding these positions in the future. The contents of all personnel files will be determined by the documented title of the attached checklist, which is the personnel file contents checklist, which is attached to and made part of this motion. So this is a legal list of those things that should be contained in a personnel file and those things that should be contained in a medical records type file. I don't necessarily want to read through this, but basically things that would go in a personnel file would be like a completed I-9 form, or like a completed employment application, or an offer or employment letter. I mean, those are the kinds of things that go in an employee file. If you had some disciplinary action and you were given some reprimand, that would go on a personnel file. You wouldn't put your, for example, if you were out and you had a doctor's note that you had to provide because you were out ill, that would not go in your personnel file. That would go in like a medical file. That would be separate, would not be a part of your personnel file. I know we moved the personnel files after our management committee meeting. The first one, Tim moved the personnel files into his office and has the key to those. And then we did not have a file on Tim as the director, but Tim reports to the Board of Trustees. And so we needed to make sure that he also has a personnel file, and that we maintain one on him as well. So we'll do that separate, because it should not, the director's records should not be part of the employee records, since he's accountable to the Board of Trustees. And that key would go to Jim. And we did pick up a key, and Robert has it.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
This is Kathy. This is going kind of going back to what we were discussing earlier. If a board member has a key to the personnel file, how does that maintain confidentiality?
Well, somebody has to have the key.
It was Tim that would have the key.
Tim will have the main key, but let's say Tim is on vacation. Let's say that Tim gets in an auto accident, is in the hospital. We need a backup person, and that would be the president of the board. And as president of the board currently, I am obligated to maintain confidentiality just as the director would be required to do that. So I understand your question, but it's primarily a security and backup procedure so that should the director be unable to access a personnel file and we need to access it for some reason, the person who is currently the board president would have the backup key to that. The same would be with the library director's personnel file. The president of the board, the current president of the board, would have the main key, but one of the management committee members would have the backup key to Tim's file only. So I don't know if that helps, but it's primarily a security and backup reason to have that.
And I should add, the file cabinets are in Tim's office. So it's not like we, the Board of Trustees, have keys to the library and we would be coming in and looking at those records, or we don't have a need to know. It's just, as Jim said, it's a security type thing.
I understand the logistics. I'm really asking it because I know I'm going to be asked that question.
Sure. No, it's fine to ask the question. I think all questions are of value.
Right. And there was no, hopefully it didn't sound defensive in the answer. It was just simply, this is a security measure so that there's always a backup position in case a key is lost, Tim's tied up, whatever. And as Patty clearly points out, we can't get into the library without someone letting us in. So, and we certainly can't get into Tim's office if it happens to be locked, which I don't even know if he has a lock on his door, which, you know, so I'm just going by, we need to have a backup situation.
There has to be a protocol on anything you do like this. I mean, Jim is, you know, Jim travels with his wife. They go out of town. Somebody else is then has to be in a position where we could access that. And that's just protocol. It's not, nobody is, you know, there aren't multiple keys. There aren't, and again, even entering the library is not just a slam dunk.
Okay, so Patty has made a motion. Do I have a second?
I would second that.
Any further discussion? All right, Patty has moved. Alan has seconded that we adopt the personnel file as read, because the one that Tim has was missing a couple of words that we amended after that. And that it also would include, as part of that resolution, the personnel file policy, the document that is called personnel file contents list, checklist. Go ahead.
Should redo this. Well, I'll make the corrections on this document, because we also have Elizabeth Library District, and it should be Albert County Library District.
Oh, yep, sorry, it should be.
I can change that in the minutes when I post the resolution.
Okay. And just
make sure that I spell check the resolution.
Yeah. And the main difference, Karen, is Albert Library District or Albert County Library District, I think. We have to check that to be sure.
I definitely got that.
And library director and the president of the board will have the keys to the employee personnel file cabinet, and the president of the board and I think it's actually the second paragraph is correct. Unless personnel is misspelled somewhere in there.
No, it's correct.
Not there.
Okay. So it's been moved and seconded as read and slightly amended to create this personnel file policy with the attachment of the personnel file contents checklist. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Thank you. We're on to item 10. So I don't know about you, but I don't like meeting on these Zoom meetings any better than you do. And it looks like we'll be on them for a while. I think an hour is about usually everyone's attention span level with the extra burden of having to kind of not talk over people, et cetera, et cetera. We also are coming into a portion of the year where, because we deferred perhaps some business during the 15 months of COVID, we're also into budget season. We're also perhaps going to be looking at a couple of other issues. We also really need to get on to focusing really hard on the build out. I would like to propose, and it just came to my mind for the next 6 months, that we add an extra meeting each month so that we're meeting approximately every 2 weeks for hopefully no more than an hour. And we can adjust that as we go along if we feel like, you know what, we don't need that second meeting after we've done it for a bit. But we did this for a while when COVID first happened because things were changing so quickly. And then it became apparent after about 45 days that we really didn't need a second meeting of the month. So that's my thinking on this. And I would also, in an effort to try and make these as efficient as possible, that while staff is welcome to comment at the meetings, if we could do as much as possible to have any comments or concerns channeled through Tim, the director, that I think would also add some expediency to our meeting. So that was kind of my thought on agenda item number 10, is that we may need to meet a little more often so we don't have to meet as long in each meeting. And with the 13-ish to 14-ish positivity rate that we currently are under, it's going to be a while before we're going to be able to meet in person again. So I'd be open to comments from the board.
I'm not too crazy about the idea.
Can you elaborate there?
I don't really want to do the minutes twice.
Okay, that's fair. Go ahead, Robert. Sorry.
I do think it's important to, I've got to think this through on having people comment. I do appreciate the feedback directly from the people. It feels more open and accepting when we're, you know, all at the table. I do understand what you're talking about, Jim, because if you're asking for an extra meeting, you know, you want to make sure that it doesn't drag out and it's, you know, it's efficient, et cetera. I don't know. I guess I'm okay with the notion of trying to, if you have something, going to Tim. But I think if you're sitting there in the meeting and you have access to it and it's important, you should be able to say something.
And Patty?
I think the key to this deal here is maybe if we have two meetings, maybe make the first meeting in the first part of the month. Make sure that meeting always is limited to 10 items, and we can allow input from the employees and stuff at that time. But if we limit the scope of things that we do, and then we save major bulk things for the meeting at the end of the month, that will make things much easier, and it will. If something is important, it's part of that 10. If it's Otherwise, it goes to the end of the month meeting.
I'm sorry, I missed the context, trying to understand why we're going to two meetings a month, and are you wanting, and were you making a recommendation to do a meeting like on a Friday midday?
That would be one of the things that I thought might be helpful, and I'm thinking, Patty, of you, because I know you try and hold your Fridays fairly open.
Yeah, my Fridays are normally fairly open unless I'm doing an implementation, so.
So, and part of that is too, none of us like to stay late into the evening if we don't have to. So if we had one kind of midday to middle afternoon meeting and one typical, you know, traditional, like we've been doing at 6 o'clock, then we still allow others to participate after their work time. And yet then we would have another that is more like just a business meeting during business time. So that was my thinking, and it's just an idea. I personally will want to clarify then, if we stay with one meeting, they are going to be longer meetings because we have a lot of items to cover in the next 3 to 6 months. And I'm fine with that. I just want everyone to be aware of it and have an input on that.
I'm fine either
way. I'm okay either way, but maybe. I mean, honestly, like I try to keep my Fridays open, and then we're trying to do management committee meetings on Fridays as well. And so, I don't know. I mean, I'm happy to go with the majority.
Let me suggest this. Let's table this like we did the vaccine thing. Let's think about it until the next meeting, which would be regularly scheduled. I apologize. I got to look at my calendar here. Our next regularly scheduled meeting would be October 27. And at that point in time, we can revisit this to see if perhaps an additional meeting per month would ease up the length of a meeting. But Patty, I certainly understand what you're saying about Fridays, that you already have some other things possibly planned there. So is that acceptable with everyone? And if so, I would entertain a motion to table this till the October 27th meeting.
That's acceptable to me, because right now, through till the end of October, my Fridays, I'm either flying somewhere or I'm tied up at a show. And so Fridays towards the end of the month in October is Fridays are a hardship for me.
Well, and Fridays was just an off the wall idea, so we could certainly just do two Wednesdays a month. So that's
sure.
Definitely
to me open. Wednesday or Thursday is the easier day.
Okay, Robert, you have a comment?
Yeah, I mean, could we just try a single meeting but extend it to an hour and a half?
We could certainly do that. I'm thinking more like 2 hours. So I just want everyone to get their comfortable pillows and be aware that we may be going 6 to 8 pretty regularly.
I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that too.
I am okay. Too.
Well, let's table it then. It would take a motion to table that. Or do you want to just disregard it for now and we'll not bring it back up again unless it appears that we really need to?
I think it's important. I think maybe just let's just start a 2 hour meeting, and then see if we're covering the kind of ground we need to. I mean, it's not going to. Here's the thing that I am concerned about. Sometimes in a 2 hour meeting, in an attempt to get everything else, covered, if the quality of the conversation is good and nobody's worn out, then you cover a lot of stuff. There is some advantage to having two shorter meetings where you're fresher throughout. But I think the logistics right now at this time of the year, it sounds like it might be better to just start with a couple 2 hour meetings and then see how that goes.
Okay.
I agree. I'm thinking the simplest way to do this is just I'll make a motion that we table the two meeting idea until the end of October, and possibly see if we need to readdress it then.
All right. Alan has made a motion. Do I have a second?
I second that.
Alan has moved and Robert has seconded to table agenda item number 10 until the October 27th meeting. All in favor, say aye, please. Aye.
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 Aye. All right, motion carries. Thank you. The next one is really just kind of an information gathering discussion. I got thinking about the foundation and I said to myself, I don't even know where we stand with the foundation at the moment. Bylaws say that at least one trustee should be on the foundation, and I don't recall if any of you other four, I know I'm not on it, so I don't recall if any of the other four trustees are on the foundation. So if you are, would you? Okay.
I am on the foundation deal, but we have not had a meeting in quite a while.
Okay.
I was going to say, I thought it was Alan, because we talked about this when I was, when I came on the board, and it was myself, and I can't remember now her name.
Yeah, I think it's myself and Wendy, and I'm not sure who else, but we have not had a foundation meeting in quite a while, and I should probably get with her and see if we should maybe have one here in the immediate future so that we can finalize something for by the end of the year.
Okay, Wendy has indicated that Tim and Suzanne O'Neill are on the foundation as well as Alan. And I seem to remember that Wendy is not on the foundation any longer, but I don't know if that's accurate or not. So perhaps, Alan, you and Tim could get your heads together and see what needs to be done to reactivate the foundation?
Sure.
Oh, Wendy's still on. She's just not present. Okay, sorry.
I'll get with Tim I'll try to get with him between tomorrow and or Monday and see what we need to do to make sure that we close out the year and have a report for the board.
Okay, thanks. I think, you know, if we could maybe get a quarterly report or something just so that we're aware of what's going on.
Wendy is on the board and not only that, but the treasurer.
Yep. Is Paula still on the foundation, Wendy? Yes or no?
We still have Paula listed. I don't think Wendy has a microphone. We still have Paula listed. We have not heard from her for a long time. So that may be a soft no.
Okay. Why don't you and Alan and Wendy and whoever else is on the foundation get together and kind of get us something so that the board at the next meeting has an update on what's going on with the foundation. I appreciate everybody's input on that. Also, Town of Elizabeth meeting is coming up this week yet, Tim, or next week?
It's September 28th, so next week on Tuesday, I believe.
And you wanted one or two trustees to accompany you, and I think Alan said he was interested, or what do you think?
Yes. This is next Tuesday? Yes, I could do that.
And of Karen, Robert, and Patty, are one of you also interested to attend the town meeting? I think they're going to brainstorm about possibly talking about using some of the space in the back. And Tim, you'll have to correct me if I didn't understand that.
Patty is going to be out of town. And you're out of town, aren't you, Jim?
We will still be in town, but I am going to be tied up on that particular day.
If I were here, I'd be happy to do it, but I won't be here.
Yeah, so it's Tuesday at when?
It's the workshop will start at 6:30, and they start the actual meeting at 7:00. So really, it'll only be a half hour commitment, and then they'll need to open up that meeting at 7:00. So just a short commitment starting at 6:30 on September 28th.
And this is in the evening, right?
Correct.
Okay.
September what?
I can go. Is Alan the only one going so far?
I think so. If you would go, that will be two board members and along with Tim. And okay.
That'll work.
Okay, perfect. Thank you guys. I appreciate your willingness on that. And then the last is just a concern that was brought to my attention about a disabled Kiowa water system. The master gardeners from the fair, we chatted with them. They know that I'm involved with the library board, and it was brought to my attention, and it may already be resolved, but I just wanted to ask the question that the water system that was taking care of the trees at the Kiowa library was not working, and I just needed to know if that's being addressed, what's going on. I would like to know.
To my knowledge, the irrigation system for Kiowa is functional. Ruben did unhook it for the season with Willie, who is, I don't know what his official title is, but he's the leader of the Master Gardeners. So he talked to Willie, and they disconnected it, and they're going to use a compressor to blow it out for the season so that it doesn't freeze and crack. But to my knowledge, from what everything Ruben has told me, and I meet with him once a week, everything is functional in that system. I meet with him tomorrow again, so I'll just confirm that since I don't think he's here today, but I'll confirm that when I meet with him tomorrow.
Okay, and the concern was that somehow the trees wouldn't get enough water without the water system. So if he could just address that with Willie or whoever he deals with. Willie's one of the two extension agents who works then also with the Master Gardeners.
I mean, they may have to. I mean, it's right to probably blow out the sprinkler or the water system, the irrigation system, so it doesn't freeze and then we have a bigger problem. But they may need to water it, like, some arborists say, like, water every holiday, like a gallon of water or a pickle barrel full of water, right? To make sure, especially when they're new and they're just getting started. I would say that also for the tree out in front of the Elizabeth Library as well.
Yep.
Okay. Just was brought to my attention. I just wanted to make sure that if there was something going on, that it was being addressed. So that
this is Lori. Jim, I know just a very little bit from a different angle. I met with Chelsea today. We talked about story times, and because there's effectively nobody employed right now by the Kiowa Water System, they don't have anybody to turn the sprinkler system off. And so they've stopped having story time outside on the theory that that having the sprinklers go off while people are watching a movie is not ideal. So that's, as far as I know, that was the only effect from the water problems. I didn't hear anything about watering the new plantings. It was more a concern about outdoor programming.
This is Ruben.
The
sprinkler was actually the outdoor movies down at the park. So that's why we canceled ours for this month. But the water, Willie and Sue walked us through everything. So We have disconnected the hose just because there was a chance of a freeze the other night. So I ran over to the library, that would have been Monday, and disconnected it. So we're just doing it by hand, but yeah, we have a plan ready to go, and we'll just blow out the air so there's no freezing in the pipes, though the drip tape probably would be fine even if it were to freeze.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate that. I was just passing on a concern passed on to me, and just as long as it's being addressed, I'm happy.
Yep. Yeah, Willie and Sue were by, I think, maybe the first week of the month or so, and they talked to us about wrapping up this season.
Okay, so, sounds good. Yeah. All right. Next scheduled meeting then now is October 27. I put in TBD because I wasn't sure if we were going to have two meetings or one. So October 27, fourth Wednesday, as per usual. Is there any other discussion on any item before I ask for an adjourn of the regular meeting? Okay. We may have a special meeting by October 15th to present the budget to the board, so just be aware of that, but it'll be a meeting just to present the first draft of the budget, because we're required by the state to have it, statute to have it to the board, the first draft by the 15th. So I would entertain, before the board goes into executive session, I want to adjourn the regular session, and then I'll read the motion that will take us into an executive session. So I would entertain a motion to adjourn the regular meeting at 7:07.
I would make a motion that we adjourn the regular meeting to go to executive session at this time.
I would second.
I second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded twice to adjourn the regular meeting. And now I move that the board will enter executive session with our attorney for the purpose of receiving legal advice on specific legal questions related to personnel matters convened pursuant to Colorado Revised Statutes, Section 24-6-402, Part 4, Part B, and Section 24-6-402-4F1 to discuss personnel matters personal to an employee of Pines and Plains Libraries.
Jim, yes. I'm taking it you want me to leave the room as well. So what I'm going to do is hand this off I'm going to make, I think, Karen the organizer here.
So actually, Tim, sorry to interrupt, but I actually have a separate Zoom link that we will use for that, just because it would be easier, as opposed to, you know, if we were in person, yes, we just clear the room and continue. Right. But I thought it'd be easier just to have an entirely different link.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Thank you all. Have a good evening. I'll see
Thanks.
You.
And I need a second to the motion to go to executive session.
I second that.
All right. It's been moved and seconded to convene an executive session. And I hopefully all of the board members have that separate Zoom link that I will open in a few minutes. All in favor of the motion? Karen, yes?
Who
need that, made motion one? I need that Zoom meeting number.
All right. Let me. Can I text it to you, Alan? Would that work?
Sure. If you text it to me, yes.
Okay. I'll have to find it and then I'll text it to you.
Okay.
All right.
And who made motion one?
So we need to vote on the motion to move to executive session. So all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. But I need Aye. Who made motion one.
Who made the motion? Who made the original motion?
I made the motion.
I made the motion.
Oh, Alan made the motion. Sorry.
And Robert seconded.
I read it right off of the agenda because we have to have the specific language in the motion. So Alan and I kind of made the motion together. All right. So I think it passes. So okay. Let's reconvene in about 5 minutes or so, which would be 7:15. On the Zoom link. If you need it, text me and I'll send it to you. Otherwise, we'll thank you for your participation, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.